clears the air, clears our minds and brains of all the cobwebs. No one here for the first time except. What's your name?
Sonia.
Sonia, for the first time, huh? Everyone else been here before. Okay. I'll just read the Sanskrit. Om Gyan Tirunandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swaparantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Raparakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savajutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Sha Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneswari Vrishabhanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Bancha kalpataruvyascha kripa sindhubhyevacha patitanam bhavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasari Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So tonight we'll deal with chapter 13. Our first topic is what is nature? I know everyone here in New Zealand feels that they are familiar with nature and that they know how to take a good tramp, they know how to wander throughout the various parks and coastlines. But we're going to get a different understanding of nature tonight. We're going to learn a lot about what we don't see, but we should see these things. Because by not understanding nature in this way, we're living extraordinarily dangerous lives. Sometimes you say that what you see is what you get. Yes, if we do not see the whole picture, then our lives become very problematic. When I say our lives become very problematic, that means not only this life, but also in the future. Most people don't care about future lives, and those who do say that there are future lives, they really have no idea how it is determined that you get one kind of life instead of another. So basically, you might be able to understand that we're surrounded by ignorance all around. Some people think this life is all that there is. Other people, they casually talk about reincarnation, our past lives, our future lives. But they have no idea what determines the different kind of lives. In fact, many people think it's all up to us. We create our own reality. We'll talk about that tonight too, and you'll find out that that's only true to a very tiny degree. So all of you have at one time or another felt you knew something about nature. You've all gone for walks in nature. Yes? Sure. I know in Australia they call it bushwalking. Here they call it tramping. This chapter is called Nature, the Enjoyer, and Consciousness. So everybody thinks they know what nature is, and certainly everybody thinks they understand enjoyment. Consciousness? Very few people understand what consciousness is. We're going to find out that these are very important subject matters. These subject matters are actually what we should be studying. They form the real education, and they also allow us to actually experience what real pleasure is. Why don't we go to page 665? This is chapter 13, text 21. And we'll start discussing what is nature. What is everyone's name, by the way? I don't know you. What's your name?
Tim.
And you?
Andrew.
Andrew. Okay. Everyone else I know. I'll just read the Sanskrit. Karya karna kartate he tu prakriti uchate purusha sukha dukanam bhokchate heta uchate. Fiona, read the translation, please.
Nature is said to be the cause of all material causes and effects, whereas the living entity is the cause of the various sufferings and enjoyments in this world.
Nature is said to be the cause of all material causes and effects. That mean anything to you? Whereas the living entity is the cause of the various sufferings and enjoyments in this world. What are causes and effects?
Reaction.
Any other answers? Don't you learn all about causes and effects in school? But don't most people think, whether they go to school or not, don't most people think that if you act in a certain way, there are certain effects? Don't most people think that way? Just like if you park out front and it's the wrong time of day, you haven't put any money in the meter, then you get a certain effect, right? So people are concerned with effects. You all know, you do certain things, if you don't do it right, you get a reaction. But what we're going to understand tonight is we actually don't know what the real causes and effects are. For example, everyone knows if man and woman interact and the situation is conducive for conception, then there's pregnancy. Everyone knows about that, cause and effect. Or you know if you don't put petrol in your car, it's not going to go. So it's not like we have no idea of causes and effects. But there's a very important cause and effect that we never think of. It's being done by nature, What is that? Nature is giving us certain kinds of bodies. Nature is actually like a warehouse that's supplying bodies. Nature is an active mechanism that's supplying bodies for you to wear. Just like here on Broadway, there's so many clothing stores. And you wander up and down the street looking in the windows. Some clothes you have money for, some you don't. Similarly, nature is supplying you with different bodies. Some bodies you've got enough karma for, others you don't have enough good karma to pay for that kind of body. Everybody would like the best clothes possible, but not everybody can afford what are supposed to be the high-priced clothes. Similarly, everyone may want a human body, but to get a human body, that takes a certain qualification. So nature is supplying all these types of bodies, an active warehouse. Once you start seeing nature in that way, then you can begin to see what's going on. But as long as you think nature is just a bunch of stars and sky and earth, and you just wander around and nature's doing nothing to you other than having some mosquitoes bite you or you're getting sunburned, you've missed the point. So who would like to read the purport so we get some further understanding? Sue, would you like to read the purport?
The different manifestations of body and senses among all living entities are due to material nature. There are 8,400,000 different species of life, and these varieties are creations of the material nature.
So, when you read that there are 8,400,000 species of life, these species of life aren't being distinguished in the way that contemporary science does it. It's just a different way of looking at the numbers of species. In any case, what scientists has the ability to see all of nature and understand how many species there are. But the Vedic knowledge has that ability. Because the Vedic knowledge does not come from those with limited senses. In any case, at this point I just want you to understand that this 8,400,000 species is not the way that the species aren't classified the same way that you learn in school or the university. Go on.
They arise from the different sensual pleasures of the living entity. He thus desires to live in the body, in this body or that. When he is put into different bodies, he enjoys different kinds of happiness and distress. His material happiness and distress are due to his body and not to himself as he is. In his original state, there is no doubt of enjoyment. Therefore, that is his real state. Because of the desire to lord it over material nature, he is in the material world. In the spiritual world, there is no such thing. The spiritual world is pure, but in the material world, everyone is struggling hard to acquire different kinds of pleasures for their body.
Okay. Can we see this much? Can you see how in this world everyone is struggling to acquire pleasures for their body? Now, why do we do that? Who told you that that's your purpose in life? What do you think? I'm sorry, what is your name again?
Andrew. Right. Where's my parents told me that?
And who told them?
Your parents.
And who told them?
Your parents.
So somehow or other, we've got to find out who started off giving this notion that you should struggle hard to acquire different kinds of pleasure for the body. Who started this notion? And why are we accepting it? Yes.
Isn't it just a natural law of survival?
That what?
That
good point. Go on.
We have to struggle. Because, I mean, if you live, as I was reading the book today, if you live in Peru or in South America, you live up high in the mountains and it's extremely hot at day and extremely cold at night. And there's a plant called the coca, which is cocaine. So they eat this plant just to get through the day, because it's just that hard. It's such an arduous place to live, and the world's full of it. It's like you just want
the world's full of what?
The world's full of suffering. So you want something to relieve yourself from that, and that's just the way they found to relieve themselves from that suffering, is to find pleasure and having a nice life, like a nice soft bed, and taking material stuff and finding material wealth, you know, to get out of this funds. That's just my idea.
Can you say it again? Can you give me the gist of it?
Well, I mean, if you're struggling, I mean, you struggle through life. I mean, when you're surviving in life, I mean, you go into
it. Okay, let me hold you right there. What are you struggling for?
To stay alive.
Does anybody here really feel they are struggling to stay alive?
No, but you... But
no, I'm just asking.
Not now, because everything's done for you now. Because
like, for yourself, how are you struggling to stay alive?
Well, I'm not, because I can go into the store now and buy whatever I want. You know, because we've attain this material life, some lifestyle. Like, I mean, I could go and buy some clothes for a certain amount of cash, and then I could go and buy some.
But what does it mean to be alive? That will understand struggling to be alive. What does it mean to be alive?
To experience, to grow. You know, like, just...
Perhaps we could take it in a biological way.
Yeah.
You're breathing.
Yeah.
Your heart's beating. You're aware. Now, are you struggling to breathe? Are you struggling to be aware of anything, whatever it is?
Well.
And then, of course, we can take food. Basic necessities are food, air, water. Are you struggling for these things?
No.
Is anybody in this room dying because of lack of food, air, water?
Maybe dying from too much food.
So where's the struggle for life? Where's the struggle to be alive if we're just talking about these things?
But I mean, it's not a struggle because in a prosperous country like New Zealand, you shouldn't have, and you shouldn't suffer because everything's here for you. I mean, but if you, I mean,
so there's no struggling here, right?
Well, there are struggles, but it's just.
All right, what is the struggling here for? Since everybody's getting their food, their air here is relatively clean. Everyone's getting their water. The water is relatively clean. So, what is everybody struggling for? Or would you say they're not struggling in New Zealand?
Well, it's for higher things, like. If you don't need the necessities, then you want something else. You want a car. You want
the higher things.
Yeah.
Okay, please describe the higher things.
Things that some people have and some people don't.
These are higher things. A car.
Well, they're not a necessity, but they're a little. There's something. Well, as Krishna consciousness would say, they're a selective.
No, you say. You can say what you like.
Not everyone possesses them, and it's that because you don't possess them, that's why you want them. What you haven't got is what you want.
So you seem to be describing some kind of psychological struggle in which you look around and you see he's got it, I don't have it, therefore I have to struggle to get it.
Being a slave to your senses.
Slave to your senses?
Well, like your senses are like. You want to enjoy
stuff there
on a material level, you know. Like
he says you want to enjoy on a material level. Is there anybody here who does not try to enjoy on a material level? Any of our guests? You try to enjoy on a material level, right? You too, right? You, yes? You?
Of course.
Of course, why do you say of course?
Because it's there.
It's there. What's there?
What?
What's there?
It's always there.
What?
Unless I...
What's there?
What?
What's there?
This what has been created.
Can you expand on that, please?
Okay. I can walk down Broadway, and I mean it's there. There's just these clothes on one side, there's McDonald's on the other side.
Uh-huh.
It's in your face all the time.
Uh-huh.
It's advertising. There's TV, there's radio. It's always there. It's in your ears. It's in your it's in your brain all the time. Materialism. It's been forced on you, so you can't escape it unless you go out to the Himalayas and sit in the cave for the rest of your life,
And that's not materialism.
Well, then you can never escape it then. If that's not even getting away from materialism, then there's no way you can escape it.
And sometimes we have long discussions about this. What is materialism?
Materialism is to be in the material nature, is like to want, to desire for things, to desire possessions of material goods for our own sense gratification.
So you don't have any material goods?
I have a lot.
And you don't desire them at all?
Well, I don't desire the ones I have, but the ones that I don't have, I desire.
So would you call yourself a materialist then?
Pretty much.
Okay. So, once again, what are we struggling for? Obviously, we don't have to struggle just to breathe and eat and drink. What are we struggling for? Drink water, anyway. What are we struggling for? In your life, what would you say you're struggling for?
Freedom. Freedom from material world, I guess, myself.
The material world. Now, what's that?
Material, I don't know. I guess it works in different levels. I mean, from people telling you how to live your life, you have different laws telling you how to live your life, or what you can do and how you can think and that sort of thing. I'm trying to get away from that.
Trying to get away from the laws?
Yeah, from people telling you how to live my life, yeah.
Mm. Can you give me an example of that?
Because I believe in Rastafarianism as well. People tell me I can't smoke marijuana, but I mean, if I want to, that's my choice.
Mm. So, read this verse again.
In the spiritual...
The translation, I'm sorry.
The translation.
Yeah.
Nature is said to be the cause of all material causes and effects, whereas the living entity is the cause of the various sufferings and enjoyments in this world.
Right.
Mm.
So, now we're understanding that nature is giving us bodies according to our desire.
Yeah.
And our qualification.
Mm.
So, just like you said, if I want to smoke marijuana, I should do that without being punished by the law.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what actually is the law? We have the national law, but in order for nature to give you different kinds of bodies, there also must be natural law. So, for example, maybe you may smoke marijuana and you're apprehended by the police. Maybe not. But...
yeah.
But what about natural law? In other words, how is that smoking of marijuana influencing your ability? Or how is it influencing your getting a particular kind of body in your next life? That you have to think about.
Well, I mean, to me, smoking is a sacrament to meditation. I mean, I've just come back from Jamaica, and I felt that to them it is an aid to meditation. So, in a way, it's helping you on a spiritual level as well in meditation, in the form of meditation, so...
But, what is spirit?
Spirit isn't this, it's the life force within you.
Is that life force within you, is that material?
No, you can't touch it, so therefore it's not material.
You can't touch it.
Mm.
Well, there's a lot of things we can't touch, but I wouldn't say it means it's not material.
Can't touch the smoke and marijuana.
Did you ever try to grab smoke?
Whoa.
Next time you light up, try to grab the smoke.
Yeah.
You can't touch it.
No, you can't touch it. No.
Does that mean it's spiritual?
To me it does.
But you can't touch it, so does that automatically mean it's spiritual?
Yeah, well to me it is.
It's anything you can't touch is spiritual.
Only thing that you can't...
Well, it's like love. Love is something that you can't touch or you can't see. But, I mean, that's spiritual.
That's another subject matter. If we're really hitting on all our favorite subject matters tonight, materialism, spirit, love. First time that we're talking about marijuana. It's the first time of anything.
Yeah.
So, now, in order for you to say that smoking marijuana is spiritual, we have to know what is spirit, what is matter. Now, Bhagavad Gita will teach you that spirit has no beginning and end, is eternal, whereas matter is temporary, has a beginning and an end. Matter is inert, inanimate. But the symptom of spirit is consciousness. And that the Krishna will explain in Bhagavad Gita that these two energies, spirit and matter, they're different. Krishna calls matter his inferior energy and spirit his superior energy. So these two energies are different. That's why no one has been able to describe the living being completely in material terms. It's not possible because there's something there that's not amenable or understandable by materialistic methods. So you agree that you are spirit wearing this temporary body, yes?
Definitely, yeah, I agree with that, yeah.
Okay. Now, why is it that you as spirit wearing this temporary body of matter need something material to help you understand your spirit?
Isn't this sort of smoking? I think for me it helped me find my spirit, to be honest with you. It helped me to find, look within myself and find that I actually did have something, a life force inside me, that I'm not just this body, you know, I'm not just this skin.
But once again, to have actual awareness that we are spirit, why do we need something material? I mean, marijuana is just the substance of this world?
Yeah, it's a part of creation, yeah. It's part of creation.
Right. There's so many things that are part of creation you can take, but you chose the plant, marijuana, cannabis. Now, what does matter have to do with your spiritual identity? Why do you need something material that will supposedly bring out your spiritual life? This is the contradiction. Bhagavad Gita will explain to you that nothing material can bring about spiritual awareness.
I found though that the reason I'm reading these books is because I wouldn't be reading this if I didn't smoke, and I can probably tell you that, to be honest with you. It's like the reason I
can accept that point according to your perception.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think how far have you gotten Bhagavad Gita?
I have read it once before. But I'm reading for it again.
As you read it again and again, I think you're going to start to realize that it wasn't so much the marijuana that brought you to it. There's something else going on.
I know that now. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I came from that same background.
Oh, yeah. you were also like it?
Yeah.
And you cut your hair, huh?
Yeah. I even had hair like that.
Oh, yeah? Well, you guys know each other?
No. I've got some time around. Yeah, I sort of found that smoking marijuana was more of a hindrance than a help. Like, at first I thought, okay, it's got me started, but just felt stuck, stagnated. I had to stop.
Well, Bhagavad Gita will explain that smoking marijuana and other kinds of things like that, taking up these kind of substances, it leaves you open to be possessed by ghosts.
Yeah.
Subtle beings that like to create havoc. Taking intoxication leads to great uncleanliness, and it simply increases our delusion. We're already deluded since birth by identifying with the body. Why do we need to take something more that's going to actually increase our delusion further? It's not necessary. to understand your spiritual identity, that can only be done with spiritual methods. Spirit and matter, they cannot be reconciled. They don't touch. Even though you're spirit soul and you're wearing that body, the spirit soul is not actually directly in contact with that body of matter. So if you're going to touch the soul, as people like to say, you have to find out completely spiritual methods. And you'll notice nowhere in Bhagavad Gita does Krishna recommend those who smoke marijuana will come closer to me.
Rastafarianism is...
We're talking Bhagavad Gita tonight. And we have to compare then the knowledge that we get in Bhagavad Gita with the knowledge that we'll get from whatever of these other books we're reading. And then make our choice. In fact, in Bhagavad Gita, in the 14th chapter, Krishna explains that this taking of marijuana and other things is in the mode of darkness. And that it increases your delusion and bewilderment. It's lower than actually the people who are rushing around in the mode of passion, the gross materialists who are pushing on all the economic development and pushing on all the urban life. That's called the mode of passion. People like to work hard and get something, get some money and buy. Mode of passion. Lower than that is the mode of ignorance. And that's those who like to become intoxicated, take various substances, have visions, dreams, like that. So it's lower than the materialists in the beehive, for example. So you should be very careful. Let's go on reading. Where did you leave off?
It might be more clear to state that this body is the effect of the senses. The senses are instruments for gratifying desire. Now the sum total, body and instrument, senses, are offered by material nature. And as will be clear in the next verse, the living entity is blessed or damned with circumstances according to his past desire and activity.
Okay, so here is the cruel joke. Nature gives you a certain body, and you take that body and you damn yourself with it. That's what this verse means, that nature is the supply of the body. The body is cause and effect. It's all supervised by nature. And then you take that body, your body is actually a symptom of cause and effect. You take that thing of cause and effect from nature, and you incriminate yourself with it. You implicate yourself in so many activities. Here I am, the body. What's to do tonight? It's Friday. What will I do with my body? How will I struggle with pleasure tonight? Now, the body was pushed on you by nature. You take it. You buy it completely. You buy into it completely. Oh, yes, my body. Now what will I do? You take that thing that nature has supplied you and you damn yourself with it. How do you damn yourself? You struggle for so many things and you have no idea what the consequences are. Smoke some marijuana. Why not? It's part of creation. I'll try a little bit of this. Try a little bit of that. Yeah, why not? Little, what's it called? Red Lion? What's that?
Lion Red.
Lion Red? Well, age of meditation. Loosens you up, you know? What do they call those things in Australia? Slabs? In order to have a... Someone was telling me in Sydney, in order to have a party, you need a slab.
Right.
Yeah. Not your scene, huh? You need a slab of, it's like a thing of 3 dozen beers, is that it?
2 dozen.
2 dozen, okay. So I said, well, why is that necessary? Well, you can't have a party without that. But why? Well, you gotta loosen up, and when you drink a lot of beer. It makes you, makes you loose. It makes you want to talk to others easily and listen. So that's a kind of meditation, isn't it? The party meditation?
This is drunkenness.
Huh?
This is drunkenness.
Sure. Well, look, what's the difference between that and marijuana?
Oh. I
know this. You see, I remember when I was in university, there was always a conflict between the potheads and the oil heads. The potheads were the ones who smoked marijuana. The oil heads were the ones who drank. And so the potheads would always look down on the oil heads, like, these guys are just not into enlightenment. They're just not into expanding their consciousness. They just drink the oil and they just, become stupid. Whereas the higher living entities smoke the marijuana and they open their eyes to higher things. Not so according to Bhagavad Gita. According to Bhagavad Gita, they're all crazy.
Yeah, well, it's also that. It springs in the Bible as well, Presbyterianism.
According to Bhagavad Gita, these things are just activities of the mode of darkness. You think you're becoming otherworldly and enlightened, but actually you're becoming more deluded. And this is the most dangerous effect of the mode of ignorance. You see, in the mode of passion, which is a step above, you have some concept of what is proper and improper. But in the mode of ignorance, everything flips. You have no idea what's up and what's down. You end up calling what's down up, and you just totally bewildered.
There's a lot of pain that comes after a lifetime of smoking marijuana. Like, you can't get up in the mornings, you get arthritis, you're constantly sick, you can't move around as easily. This is in your 40s if you start. Within 20 years, your body's totally diseased.
Oh, it's happened to you?
No. I've seen many examples.
Before my life,
I've seen family friends who've smoked drugs most of their lives.
Yeah, it drives you crazy.
Yeah, they just can't do it. They're just useless.
That's why they call it dope.
Also, you might think a lot about spiritual matters when you're saying, but that's all you do is think about it. You don't put it into action. Well, from my experience, it caused me to procrastinate a lot. You think a lot, but not do anything about it.
Procrastination is a symptom of the mode of ignorance. So, the basic point we should remember is that if we are pure spiritual entities, what do we need material things to reveal our spiritual life? Not possible. You need pure spiritual things.
Tell me why it's not spiritual, because it's not eternal.
You don't need to take any substance for your spiritual life. Not necessary. Anyone who tells you that is cheating you. You don't need to take any substance for your spiriture life.
It's your choice to, if you desire to.
That's right. Okay, hold it once. I'm glad you brought that point up again. You're really going to be able to understand this verse. Can you read it again? the translation, please.
Nature is said to be the cause of all material causes and effects.
That means like marijuana, your body, your mind.
Yeah. Whereas the living entity is the cause of the various sufferings and enjoyments in this world.
Yes. So with my body, with my mind, I'm going to imbibe some of this marijuana plant. So you're partaking of the causes and effects of nature. Nature supplied your body, nature has supplied the marijuana, and you are the cause of the resultant suffering or enjoyment by your choice.
Okay.
So by making a choice, you would think that you would try to understand the whole system, the whole picture of what's going on in the cosmic creation. But generally we don't do that. We just think, well, this seems right to me. Throw a little marijuana, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. So that way, we are jamming ourselves with our body. Nature supplied the body, and we incriminate ourselves. We don't know what's going on. Just like Sonia was telling me, I'm afraid if I stay too late, it'll be dark outside, and then if I'm walking down the street, someone may grab me. So that is a fear. But why don't we fear that I'm doing so many things in life, I have no idea of the overall system, so I may get a reaction? But we don't think like that. In other words, she's being cautious and fearful. But why is that caution and fearfulness only applied to one little section of her life, walking home at night, or however she's going? Why don't we apply it to all aspects of our life?
Because we like to associate ourselves with our material bodies and bring pleasure in that, so you don't, like, you have these fears and anxieties about any harm coming to your physical body. You tend to forget about the spirit soul that, you know, seems to want.
Okay, that's true, but even talking about the spiritual body, what about your next body? Why don't we think about that? Just like she's saying, I don't want anybody grabbing me when I'm walking down the street. But what about nature pushing on you a body? You have no idea what it is. How did you get this present body?
Same way everybody else got their body.
How was that?
Came up with your mother.
Three years past deeds.
But how did you, the soul, who is different from the body, get stuck with this body? That we don't know. But we don't have any fear about that. Does anybody here think what your next body is going to be? Do you think about that?
Relevant, is it?
Please, explain.
I mean, if you're walking down the road and you're afraid that somebody's going to grab you, that's relevant because it's in time. Because the next thing I'm going to do is when I have my dinner, I'm going to go home. So that's the closest thing I can associate any, you know, thing that would happen to me or fear. You know, so that was relevant in time. But with the body being in the next life, I mean, that's quite, that's such a, if you even believe in reincarnation.
Well, it's such a rush.
Well, you know, if you believe in reincarnation, then it's so far away, then, you know, why?
What's so far away?
Well, the next life. Well, I know that life goes like that.
But so the next life is so far away.
What?
You're sure about that?
Well, I might say I'm sure about it, because I'm not, but,
For example, how old are you, if I may ask?
18.
So you're quite sure that you're going to have a full, a regular lifespan of 75 years?
Oh, I could do.
You're sure about that?
Yeah. That's the average age. That's exciting.
And you're sure that you're going to live that average?
Well, I eat like shrimp and...
I don't know what this precise stuff is.
If I eat good food and, you know, I keep out of trouble and, you know, I keep...
It's all up to you, huh?
Yeah, it's a choice.
It's all up to you, it's your choice.
Well, there's a lot of outside forces that can put obstacles in my way. And
so, oh, like what, for example?
Like I could look out and I could judge that this road is clear and all of a sudden there's a blind spot and I get smacked by a car. And then I die a dreadful, painful life. Dreadfully, painfully and stuff, you know, and that's my life over, then I might start anew. But that just contradicts what I just said. Because it could be a short life, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because I could die now, and then I'll die on the next one.
Yeah.
So where am I going?
You tell me.
But
it's not relevant anyway, don't worry about it. It's not relevant, really, don't worry about it.
It's not
relevant, you know. You'll live a full life, it's guaranteed. I mean, you're a nice guy. You've got big plans, yeah? So why should you live a whole life?
Well, I hope I live a full life.
Well, maybe you should, because you hope. Yeah. Isn't that the way? Just hope and it'll happen.
Yeah, I send the energy out.
Send the what out?
I send the energy.
What energy?
Oh, just the love force.
It's all under your control, right?
No, because that would make you the enjoyer.
You don't try to enjoy.
I really love to be there.
Oh, that's good.
And so I'm
how far are you in?
I'm halfway.
Very good.
And, you know, I went out and stayed at the farm, and I've been really seeing, you know, how that lifestyle is really good, beneficial. You know, it's quite beneficial.
So that's all we're saying, really. But what about this relevance? You know,
I was just thinking, if you believe in reincarnation, then it's irrelevant to believe that what's going to happen in your next life. But if you don't, then what's the use of thinking what's going to happen way in the next life?
Way in the next life. Did you hear that? Way in the next life. Flight at last minute, and you know, all the TV reporters, they're speculating. Shall we call it luck? This is the will of God. Making a big thing out of it. Okay. So she's living happily ever after, right? No. 2 months later, she was in her native country, and one of her fans went crazy and stabbed her to death. This is the way material nature works. Why is this happening? Is it by chance? Just like you were saying, I walk out on the street, and maybe I don't look the right way and a car hits me. For example, I was just reading about one man who was very concerned that there were so many predictions of earthquakes in California. He was going to see many psychics and many predictors, and he gathered so much information that convinced him, I've got to move from California. And he told all his friends, I'm moving from California. Too many predictions, too many psychic predictions. There's going to be earthquakes here. All of California is supposed to fall into the sea. So I'm getting out now. So he bought himself a home in Colorado. So the first day that he walked into his new house, he walked out into the street and looked the wrong way and was killed by a truck. This is what material nature is doing. We have so many plans, and material nature is going its way. Sometimes people define life in that way. Life is what happens while you're making your own plans. Life is going its own way. Life is what happens while you're making plans. What were you going to say?
I was just thinking, isn't there a level of awareness for these people that something's going to come up for them and tap them on the shoulder?
Sometimes there is, sometimes not.
So it's a matter of tapping into that or...
Tapping into what?
Understanding that awareness or as soon as you get a premonition or an awareness that something will happen to you, actually do something about it instead of...
Yes. Do you have an intuition that you're going to die?
No.
You don't.
Not yet, but when I will, I probably will be.
You probably will die.
But at the moment, I don't.
You don't have an intuition you're going to die.
Not at the moment.
That's very sad, then. You don't have an intuition you're going to die? Any moment you can die.
Well, I believe that something will tell me.
All right, and then what will you do?
You wait for it.
Should let him tell you. Had your chance.
Yeah, sorry.
What will you do when this voice tells you? I'm sorry, what's your name again?
Max.
Your time has come soon. What are you going to do?
Well, I'll accept it.
One day you could be working on some electric lines, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you hear a voice, Matt, you're going to touch a wire and that's it for you. So, what will you do then? That's different from what you do now.
Well, I believe that voice will say, be careful with this before it will kill me.
Okay, so you'll avoid the electric wire, just like Miss Poland avoided the flight. And then you won't die, right?
Yeah.
You'll, every time it's time for you to die, you'll hear this voice, Max, you're about to die, and you'll avoid it, right?
Yeah. Well, I believe that at that level I'll know that, you know, that I'm ready to go and my life.
Okay. So, accepting that is true, that a blue voice will tell you you're ready to go into your next life. What are you going to do then?
What am I going to do?
Yeah, when the little voice says, Max, this time you can't avoid it, you're going. What are you going to do?
Well, I believe I'll be that aware that it won't matter.
Come on, Max, what are you going to do? Just say, I'm so aware now it doesn't matter? You don't know. Now, what kind of life is this? That the most important thing, you don't know how you're going to respond to.
I'll be accepting.
Accepting. Death, just take me away. You'll be accepting, huh? And that's great advancement, that you're accepting of death. As if it made a difference, it's going to happen whether you accept it or not. But you think it's great advancement. I accept death.
Not much else you can do.
It's like, you know, when the what's the tax department called here? The Inland Revenue comes and says, Max, we're coming to take money you owe us. If you don't pay us, we're going to take your house, take your car, and you, I accept it. I accept that. You have no choice. So what are you going to do when death comes? Just say, I accept it? And then what? Do you think that that's just like he thinks it's spiritual to smoke marijuana? Who told you it's spiritual just to say, I accept whatever happens, and that means you've reached a high state? Who told you that?
No.
Why do you think like that?
I don't know. I just think that's the way it is.
But you just accept, huh? Okay, death, I accept you. Now what?
Well, so
death says, oh, you're different. You accept me. Therefore, you're different. Is that what death will... The others haven't accepted me, but you've accepted me. Therefore, you're in a different category. Is that what's going to happen?
It's up to God
or whatever.
Yeah,
that's another one of our favorite subject matters. We've hit a lot tonight. Materialism, spiritual, nature, what else? Love, and now we're to the almighty whatever. The big cream puff in the sky, huh?
What was somebody in Krishna consciousness, you know, like it was really elevated to when they thought they were going to die?
The same thing that they would do at any time in life, because an intelligent person always thinks that any moment I will die, and you will not be disappointed. The graduate studies in Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, is basically about two questions, and these two questions are actually one. These questions were asked by a king who was cursed to die in 7 days. So he gave up his kingdom and sat down on the bank of the river Ganges to prepare for death. So he asked two questions of all the learned sages that gathered from all around the universe to witness this great king preparing for death in 7 days. He asked, what is the duty of a person in all circumstances? And second question, what is the duty of someone about to die? Now, why are these two questions actually one question?
Because it's the same duty.
Huh?
Because it's the same duty, because you can die at any moment.
Yes, because in all circumstances, everyone is about to die. So a Krishna conscious person understands that.
What is it? What's the Jiva? Fix your mind.
Yes, you must engage your mind and senses in Krishna's service. Now and whenever death comes. It's very risky living not to know your next destination. You're living in a flat now? Or a house? I think a house, yes?
Yeah.
You're renting or you're own?
Renting.
Mm-hmm. Now, suppose you have this kind of lease. Do you have a lease for your house or something?
No.
At any moment, what can happen? You can be kicked out of that house, right?
Could be, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you have any plans what to do if that happens?
No.
What would you do if you got kicked out of this house?
Well, look for somewhere else to live.
And what kind of place would you look to live in?
Somewhere.
But you know you'd get another house, right?
Yeah.
Okay, when you give up that body, you can be kicked out of that body at any moment. What kind of body are you going to look for next?
Well, one that will keep me seeking knowledge. One that will keep me on the...
And how do you propose to pay for that body? With? What will you pay for it with?
Well, doing what I'm doing now is carrying on...
Electric work?
No, it's... working on self-realization.
And what is the self?
The self is my spirit, my soul.
Uh-huh. And what does the soul exist in relation to? Or are you just the everything yourself?
To the universe.
The universe?
Well, to God.
What's that?
Everything.
God is everything. So we just gather up all the atoms in the universe. We've got God, right? No, I didn't answer. Everyone has their own belief. Everyone has their own path. Don't put words in anyone's mouth. Reality is what you make it.
It's bringing the body into balance.
Where did you learn that?
It's all part of the path to self-realization.
The path to where?
Self-realization.
And what is the self?
Well, it's me.
What is me?
Who I am right now.
Which is?
Present point.
We do need some air in here, you know?
Yeah. We could look out the window. Do you realize what the self is? Why would you need a
self? That's what I'm understanding.
What is the self?
That's what I'm understanding, or learning to understand more and more.
Well, what have you understood about the self? I mean, am I asking legitimate questions? What do you think?
Oh, yeah, really.
Sorry, am I asking legitimate questions? Am I asking legitimate questions?
Yeah.
Okay. So what is the self? Am I asking legitimate questions?
Mm-hmm.
Am I asking legitimate questions?
Yeah.
Okay. So what is the self? You've gone through me, the self, all these, what are these things?
Well, it's self, it's the reflection of my spirit through my body.
What is the spirit? Is this a kind of are these the kind of is this the kind of precision you deal with in your electrical work? You gotta be precise.
So the subject can be precise.
Who told you that? Who told you that?
Well, the people in this room. No, nobody agrees on the same thing. On how the spirit works.
And where do you get your information?
I get it from wherever I can. And I mean, you were just a jewel tonight. I just come along and I listen to you, and then I'll listen to someone completely different tomorrow. So who's right? You or them?
So where does the information in Bhagavad Gita come from?
It comes from the book called the Vedas. Oh, you said Bhat something. Mahara Bhat.
Where did the Vedas come from?
The Vedas was supposedly came from some culture, some advanced culture from India or from that, 5,000 of years ago. Or it was either talked, or either somebody talked to the Krishna talked to the sun.
Who is Krishna?
Krishna is the all-pervading force, as it's said in Sanskrit. I think that's or the absolute truth of it. That's the way it's said. And then he spoke to his sun god, and then the sun god spoke to me.
All right, so accepting that some of what you said is true, in a limited sense, you could say Krishna is the all-pervading force, Krishna is the absolute truth. Okay. But try to understand what you're saying. You're saying that the knowledge in Bhagavad Gita does not come from within this material world, from persons with limited, imperfect senses. Now, do you understand the implications of that point?
So again, the knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita comes from non-human, you say?
Explains it.
It's from Krishna, from the absolute truth.
Okay, well, that's what supposed to be said, it came from Krishna. That's why the whole worshipping Krishna is where it comes from.
Okay. Now, the point is, you don't have any realization of that right now. But certainly you'd have to agree that it's better to take your chances on knowledge that at least says it's coming from the perfect source and check it out, rather than take your chances with knowledge coming from what you immediately know is an imperfect, faulty source. You get my point?
Yeah. Well, I've got a very strong belief in actually the Bhagavad Gita, but I'm just trying to look at it from all different angles. Yeah.
I understand that point, but I'm telling you there's a better way to do it. You just hypothetically accept Bhagavad Gita and its premises, apply the principles in your life, and then see what happens. Make an experiment, you know what I mean? The best way to understand Bhagavad Gita is to take it on its own terms. How's that sound? Someone do that. Yeah. And make a test in that way. Yeah. No blind following now. Make the test.
So that's the proof in the pudding. So if I try.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah.
So if I try this, mm-hmm. But what happens if it doesn't work for me?
Well, what have you lost?
If I spend 5 years in the faith, and then I give up, then I've lost 5 years.
How many years have you spent in the materialistic faith?
I've spent more than that.
Right, so?
Well,
in other words, if you read Bhagavad Gita, you'll find Krishna's giving you every encouragement to take the gamble this way.
Yeah.
You got everything to gain and nothing to lose, right?
Mm.
That's why I looked at it when I was a little bit older than you, when 21. I figured, okay, my death is coming, that's a fact. I knew that much. And it's coming at any moment, I don't know when. So I've got to find out what to do about this. If I win, that's great. And if I lose, well, I was going to go down anyway. You get it?
Yeah. We'll see if I could die, you know, if I walk downstairs and I die there.
Right.
You know, what was it worth living, you know, if I got into this.
Well, Krishna tells you in Bhagavad Gita.
And I enjoyed this, if I enjoyed this and I enjoyed the path.
Krishna tells you in Bhagavad Gita that even the little progress that you've already made, you won't lose. You'll start off from that point in your next life. all your material abilities and progress, you will lose that. But whatever progress you make in Krishna consciousness, you'll start off from that point in your next life. Goes in your eternal bank account.
Because it's dealing with the soul?
Right, you got it. Rather than marijuana and things like that. Don't mind. So, yeah, you got it. So all you do is take Bhagavad Gita on its own premises, on its own points. Approach it in its own way. Rather than mixing it with so many things you're hearing. Just take it on its own. I mean, just like, you know, boy meets girl, and you know, generally they tell each other, just take me the way I am. Right? Yeah, they talk like that.
It's only, it's, you know, on our website. You sorry, carry on. I shouldn't interrupt you when you speak.
No, you can. Just take me the way I am, on my own merits. Ideally, you know, that's the way it's supposed to be. So, you take Bhagavad Gita in that way. You put your trust in so many things in this world, and none of them have ever warranted enough trust as Bhagavad Gita does. You've never found anything so intellectually profound and convincing as Bhagavad Gita.
That's true.
So? If you're going to gamble, this is the best way to gamble. If you win, hey, that'd be great, right? And if you lose, you were losing anyway, right? Okay? Or Swami Prabhupada, he said, look at it this way. You might say, well, suppose, you know, it just turns out to be a waste of time. Well, then think. You've already wasted your time so many other occasions, so what else is new? There's one more.
Yeah, like,
there's nothing different.
Yeah.
But if you win, you really win big.
Yeah.
And if you lose, hey, just one more time losing, like, material life as normal.
Mm. You know, I had that point, put across to me, and I see that it's a very strong one, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, why not?
No blind following now. Krishna consciousness is not about blind following.
You see, but, you know, I mean, you'd have to be, you don't want to be a pretender. You know?
Right, therefore, fill yourself up with knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
You're a student now? We're in the...
I'm at a shipping school.
Hmm?
I'm at a shipping school in Newmarket.
What is it called?
Open Hotel and Shipping School.
Oh, shipping. They're teaching you how to be a vegetarian cook, huh? Okay. So you dedicate your energies to studying these books?
Oh, well, when I had spare time.
Well, the point is, you have to arrange the priorities in your life. You have to decide what's the most important for you. What's the most important thing? And, you know, put first things first.
Sounds good. But I don't live in an ashram, do I?
I thought you choose how to live your life.
But see, I suppose you're right. I mean, I could give up everything, and, you know, I could give up the opportunity of being a chef. You know, I could just start reading this book.
Well, that's up to you.
Yeah.
I never said you had to do it. I'm just saying it's up to you.
Yeah.
You're the maker of your own reality, right?
Of course. That's what I'm saying. That's what I could do. But will I do it?
Huh?
I could do it.
Yeah, you could.
You will.
You have the power.
Yeah, I do.
It's up to you.
Well, I won't make this choice now, but... I'll find out in a few days.
Okay. Let's finish reading this purport here. Go on, Sue.
According to one's desires and activities, interior nature places one in various residential quarters. The being himself is the cause of his attaining such residential quarters and his attendant enjoyment of suffering. Once placed in some particular kind of body, he comes under the control of nature because of the body. Being matter acts according to the laws of nature. At that time, the living entity has no power to change that law. Suppose an entity is put into the body of a dog. As soon as he is put into the body of a dog, he must act like a dog. He cannot act otherwise. And if the living entity is put into the body of a hog, then he is forced to eat still and act like a hog. Similarly, if the living entity is put into the body of a demigod, he must act according to his body. This is the law of nature. But in all circumstances, the super soul is with the individual soul. That is explained in the Vedas. As follows. The Supreme Lord is so kind upon the living entity that he always accompanies the individual soul, and in all circumstances is present as the super soul or Paramatma.
Any questions about this? We didn't get far on the list today. We're just on topic number one, what is nature? So, let's get this thing clear now. Nature supplies a body to us. Nature is not just some kind of oceans, skies, and mountains. Nature is giving bodies. And we take that body and we implicate ourselves with it. So the cause and effect, that is this body. The happiness and distress, you cause that by identifying with the machine that nature gave you. You know, it's like nature saying to you, here's the rope, now hang yourself with it or pull yourself up with it. Body comes from nature, but you're going to get the blame or the credit for what you do with the body, even though it doesn't come from you, it comes from nature. In New Zealand, at amusement parks, they have these things called bumper cars. So, alright, your body's like a bumper car. It's supplied to you by the amusement park. You are bumping around in it, bumping into so many people, you call that romance. Trying to earn your livelihood, studying this, studying that, you're your bumper car. And you will get the blame for everybody you bump into. Even though you're not the cause of that body, the body has been supplied to you by nature. But you jumped in the body for a ride, therefore you'll get the blame.
The thing you grow out of every conversation you have.
Uh-huh.
Don't you grow out of every conversation? See, if I had never met you tonight, I would never learn what I'm learning tonight.
Don't you get growth from every conversation that you have?
Well, every person...
No, how would you answer that, Fiona? Now think of all the conversations you've had. Don't you grow... Each conversation adds to your growth. Growth of what?
Well, not unproductive.
Tumor or what? Growth of what?
Growth.
Of what?
As an understanding.
Understanding what?
Understanding what we're getting closer to what we want to find.
What do you want to find?
Now... That's a good question.
You see how ridiculous this stuff is? See, I always try to ask these questions back just to try to get you to see that, you know, we really don't know what we're talking about. Unless we get some definitive transcendental knowledge, we're just really, you know, drawing circles in the sky with our finger, you know?
But it's not really my subject, is it?
Yeah.
Now that I haven't dedicated my life to spirit, you know, I'm a trainee chef.
Why did you choose to be a chef?
Because that's what calls me. That's what I do.
Why did you listen?
Because that's what I found to be suitable for who I am.
Carving up animals and roasting them?
Yes, if you want to carve up animals, then you can do that. You can be a vegetarian chef.
Right, it's whatever, right?
Yeah. But
it's all up to you, right?
No, it's not all up to me. It's up to what I make out of it.
Uh-huh. And... nature just reacts or gives you the reactions according to what you like, right? So whether you carve up animals and roast them, or whether you're a vegetarian chef or this or that, it's up to you.
Well, I make the cause and effect.
but depending on what occurs from that, is speculation.
Why don't you find out? You could be leading a very risky life, or maybe not. But you don't know.
Well, that's the risk I take.
And you're willing to take that risk?
Yeah.
Are you willing to take that risk?
What, to collect power?
To live without knowing the whole system. No, you're not. That's why you're here. So follow through.
Well, isn't that what I'm trying to follow?
Yeah. You come to the right place.
So then I'm driving my conversation, don't I?
From this one you are.
Every conversation I have, a mundane conversation, I say, look, I want to get out of this. And then it gets worse, and then somebody will say, well, if you hear about the law, that's on. You know.
But this is one kind of conversation here. It's not that you grow from every conversation. This is a popular thing going around these days. Well, let's just listen. It's a popular notion going around these things these days that you just network with a lot of people and everybody adds to your growth. You've heard of this one? The more people you meet and the more people add to your life. Every time you interact with somebody, you're growing. That's why people don't even want to have families anymore and be legitimately married, because they say it restricts their growth. Why should I just interact with one person? It's restricting me. I want to grow.
It's pretty hard raising a family. A lot of painstaking work.
Anyway, the point is, it's not that everything helps you to grow. You have to learn how to discriminate, just like our friend here. I was trying to teach him a little discrimination about marijuana. Everything has a purpose. Poison is also in the creation, but you're not going to drink poison, which you recognize poison to be. You use discrimination. So you must learn to discriminate what gives the best result. And that's what Bhagavad Gita will teach you. One thing brings one result, another thing brings another result. Nature is acting upon you and will give you the right body for the kind of life you've lived this life. You may think this way or that way, but nature is acting. It's supplying you with bodies according to your mentality. Can you start to grasp that?
Yeah, I grasp it.
Okay. Next week we're going to deal with point two. Am I infected by nature? Exciting topic. Now we're understanding what nature is. Next we can start to understand how nature infects us. So are we making a little headway tonight? What do you think, Andrew? Yeah. Danger. You know all this, right? What do you think? A little headway we've made tonight?
Not differently, yeah.
You may not have agreed with everything you heard, but we made some headway, didn't we?
Differently, yeah.
Okay. Just remember, you don't need anything, you don't need any substance for your spiritual life. All right, here. Try it. Try studying Bhagavad Gita without marijuana. Make an experiment. All right. Thank you all very much. I'll see you again. So, I guess we can have dinner.
So,
you'll certainly grow by taking the special food we serve here. Fiona, can you do me a favor? Can you write down what's on that board there so I can keep it?
Thank you. Are you sorry?
How about you? How about you?
Huh?
Yeah.